in honor of the Miami reunion, I'm wearing a sweatsuit with Michael Jordan all
That's
over it.
That's such a sick sweat. Do you have Jordans on right now? You must.
I must. I does. Hello, gorgeous. Welcome back to the Get Them Lala podcast. If I do say so myself, Monday's boner bonus episode was hitting different.
So funny and fun.
I loved it.
Why are the bonus episodes so good?
They're so good. I think it's because we talked about this. I think it's because we, instead of being overwhelmed with so much to talk about, we get to focus on one little thing, which allows us to deep dive into like funny and fun details.
And also we're like opening up to the audience and the audience writes in. So yes. It's just like a giant kick it session with all of our friends who are also writing in about horrific or funny moments. Like yes. Anal with conditioner.
Dying over that.
Trying
and the goggles. I'd like you guys to know, we'll tease this. There was a clip cut. And it was about something I talk in the bonus episode. And I thought, you know what? Maybe this isn't the best promo clip. You can still hear it on the bonus episode, but it's basically my worst experience. And it's interesting.
We were driving here today and Jessica was like, you know, the original clip that they cut was me having come on my face with goggles. And I was
Santa
she
Claus.
Goes, yeah, yes, Santa yeah. Claus come.
Mind you, we were in the, I was like, yes, you guys cut that clip. It's going to be hilarious. And then they sent it to me and I was like, was I really that graphic?
You were very graphic and it was awesome. It. And then she says in the car, she goes, there's going to be a day where I have like kids and I don't really know that I want like someone to be like, hey, I saw this clip of your mom like having come all over her face. And I'm like, Jessica, let me tell you something. If Kim Kardashian can just get dicked down by Ray J for all the hours in the world and still be the number one celebrity on all the planets ever, we're all just fine.
Do you think her kids have seen it?
Oh, well, remember Saint came in and was like, look at this thing on Roblox, mom. Yeah. And it's like her acting all sexy and she's like, what the fuck? And then Kanye West goes and steals all the computers.
From
Ray J or whoever.
Oh, yeah.
Remember he comes in with like a suitcase full of old school computers.
Which is like so, whatever, so dumb because it's like he could have just made copies. It was the principle, I guess, and like the
dramatic effect for yeah, the show. And yeah. Kim's like sobbing.
Well, your kid is now going to know that you had cum on your face.
Well, you know what? I do hope one day, if it's a girl or a boy, that they are comfortable experimenting sexually at the right age.
You know what? That's a great answer. At
and
the right
getting
age.
Cum on their face if they so choose.
Yes. Exactly.
With
all
consent.
Right. So let's talk about the week, the weekend. I tell Jessica, because as you guys know, I moved into a new home. And so we've been task rabbiting our asses off. Now, Jessica and I treat Task Rabbit like it's Tinder or Bumble. Like we stay scrolling. She sends me photos, me zooming in, being like, how tall is he? And then remembering like that doesn't really matter on TaskRabbit. I literally was like, do we know the height of this person?
I'm like, he's got blue eyes. I'd rather go for brown eyes for you lot.
And yeah, I like the brown eyes.
Yeah.
So she sends me a plethora of hot men. And I said, you know what? We can't go wrong with any of them. I'm going to let you choose. So she picks one. And I come home. Well, first of all, Easton sends me a message, me and Jess. And he goes, Jess, the Task Rabbiter is a fucking looker, Law. You got to get home. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited.
She goes, perfect. I'm in glam.
I did. I did the after show with Brittany. I said, perfect. I'm in glam. Oh, that never happens. I'm never in glam.
The last hot one, weren't you in like sweats or something? I think, right?
Fuck you, Jessica.
You look
Are
hot.
Are you saying
in
I'm not hot in sweats?
You
look Look at you right now. Look at you right now.
I could always be hotter. No. It's fine, though. Whatever. This is called confidence at its finest. You can't tell me shit. Okay? So I roll in, and he's, like, hammering away. Mm-hmm. And my mom is like, he is so cute. Go in there. And so I, like, go, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, it's going really well. I'm like, how do I get him to turn around? So my mom then... I don't know. How do you get a task rabbit or hard at work? Making IKEA furniture.
He didn't turn around. You came in and said,
Lisa,
hey, how's it going?
Lisa poked the line to get in to turn
around.
Yeah,
she goes, so where are we going to keep this here? And then he turns. And then I imagine when he saw me, it was like, All right, so he is fine.
Okay, so he was fine. Did he, like, did his eyes widen a little when he saw you?
Oh, they always widen, honey.
Of course, of course. Come oh, this is now. Exciting. I wasn't
Jessica,
there.
Jessica, so don't I'm, ask I'm stupid hearing. Questions on the podcast.
I'm hearing all this for the first time along with you guys. So you show up. Your is he tall? Because he seemed tall in the photo.
He's tall. Okay. He's tall. He's hot. He's hitting. Okay, so all is good. We tell him that we are going to do something, right? Like, if you need anything, let us know. You want to know what he asks us for? Do you have any snacks? I go like this. I go, snacks? Like food? And my mom, I walk out to my mom. I'm like, you want snacks? She's like, snacks? Like what? Like an Uncrustable? I was like, I don't know.
I'm on the couch listening to him too. And like, they're like, well, what do we give him? He looks like a healthy person.
I was like, he's like a healthy person. I think we have nuts.
No. So when he asks for snacks, are
keep in mind, he drained us dry of every water bottle in the house. He
was didn't water even... first or snacks?
Water Both. Was first, because you have to remember, I came home around 3. He had been there for a solid couple hours.
Okay.
Which seemed like he was there for a very long time.
Okay.
And you know what? He was hot until he was not anymore. It started with the snacks, all right? You're pissing me off, buddy. Then I take off. Easton stays home, and he calls me, and he goes, he wants to know if you have a step stool for the TV. I go, no, I don't got a step stool. That's why I hired a Task Rabbiter. Okay?
So we needed
to bring the things, to hang the stuff.
Right.
No, do I look like someone who has step stools and ladders?
I have step stools to put my dishes away, but that's me.
That's true. High cabinet.
That's true. I have a nice stool to put my dishes away. But no, you do not
look
like
someone. Then he asks me for a pencil to measure the TV.
Sir.
I hear him turn on
the TV on the box.
Then I get home. The TV.
The measurement is on the box. What does he need to?
I told him I would like it 3 inches above where my lighting is.
You should have said 3 inches, sir. What do you think about 3 inches?
Pull your dick out and measure 3 inches.
All right. Do you think it's average? Do you think 3 inches is big or small? What do you think? Okay. Sorry. I don't mean to objectify the Task Rabbiter. So anyway, keep going.
So Easton tells him we don't have a step stool. I arrive back at the house. He then asks me again, do you have a step stool? I then tell him, are we really still fucking doing that? The TV's not hung. I don't say that.
Right.
Because I'm still thinking he's going to redeem himself.
Right.
He's up there listening to the basketball game, comes back down about 27 hours later and goes, so as we got my TV hanging tool, I'm going to have to come back tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, now you're fully annoying and I never want to see you again. What are you? Right. And what have you been? I go up there. He built the thing that the TV hangs on.
The wall
and it
thing?
Was like 3 hours he was up there.
Yeah,
the guy you hired today, Jessica, because I told Jessica, I told him to come Monday, but you immediately need to let him know he doesn't need to come back. I make Jessica do all the dirty work. I'm like, yeah, we'll see you Monday. You did a great job today. Jessica, tell him to fuck off. And hire someone who is not hot.
Yeah.
Just somebody.
So anyway, the Task Rabbiter today.
Yeah.
He built hella IKEA shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's fast.
He hung my TV.
Right.
He hung mirrors. And he hung hella pictures.
In and out. He was great, right?
In and out. 2 hours, dude.
Oh.
He was fantastic. He was like, from what he looked like in the photo, okay, I would like to say.
But
before,
you have a theory about Task
Rabbit. The first Task Rabbit guy.
What I have to say really quick, we're not objectifying Task Rabbiters. If anything, it's just like.
If anything, we objectify everybody, not just the Task
but
Rabbit
just so
people.
You know, I'm not on Task Rabbit looking to find Lala dates. I'm like, you know what? If she could.
Eye candy.
That's what it is. Yes. Is that object? That's objective.
No, it is for sure.
I am objectified every day of my life. Okay?
Oh,
and
no.
All
so
I'm not asking to wrong. Grab your ass.
Right.
I'm
no,
asking you,
you
to come in and pay you to do what you're already going to be doing. And by the way, you also get a look at me. So you're welcome.
Right.
I'm basically paying you to look at me.
Right. I mean.
And I don't need to pay for that shit.
So, today is Task Rabbiter.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how many people want to kill me on this episode? A lot.
Right now? No.
Hella people.
No. Okay, so. This is funny. Today's looks like Andrew. Do you know who Andrew Santino
yes.
is? Didn't that, is it, do you know who that is?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Comedian.
Did you see today's Task Rabbiter? No. I think he looked like that. So he's like cute. He's got red hair.
I told her type in someone who's good at hanging TVs. Mm. And did you?
Sure did.
He did it.
Like, good at mounting, but like not mounting sexually. Mounting, hanging.
But the first guy I think was there for the mounting sexually.
For the mounting sexually. I do have to say, look, I know that TaskRabbit is not a website for sex perverts, but or sex work.
But is it?
Do I say this, you guys?
I feel like he was out there waiting for you to like.
Okay,
walk up.
All we're looking for on TaskRabbit is say more than just I'm good with my hands and mounting.
Oh, you guys, yes, because I go through and I'm like, part of me, I know TaskRabbit, amazing website, I love it, but part of me was like, the way some of these people are writing what they're good at, men and women, by the way, they're like, amazing at mounting, great with my hands, brings such a good energy to the home space. And I'm like,
that's great. I'm sure you are great at mounting things to a wall. But like, we hired this guy because he was good at mounting. And he left it at that. And he wasn't great at mounting anything. In fact, the one thing I asked him to mount, he couldn't even do because he forgot his tool. Does that mean condoms? I don't know. Maybe.
When there's a lot of similarities between like
TaskRabbit, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, we're all in.
Well, we obviously love you and we're obviously pushing for you. We always have used you. Did he hang? So he didn't get your TV hung.
Mm-mm.
The first one.
No, and his ratings are super high and it's because he's hot.
Is that why?
Yeah.
The only
and
thing
you
he
know
did
what?
Was build three things from IKEA in
if
6 hours.
If I weren't a Virgo, mm-hmm. I could have let a lot of the shit slide. Right. But the Virgo in me was like, I've had enough.
Right.
I've had enough.
Sorry.
Remove yourself from the premise.
I'm sorry, Lal. That was my bad, you guys. I went for looks. But you know what? The second time, I went for quality and talent, and we did it.
I love it. I appreciate you, Jess.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time, and the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress No Glue Manis and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold, and that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now, so get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
The first of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Okay, over the weekend, the Dune 2 premiere in New York City happened. Zendaya continued to kill it. Did you see her look? Is it Zendaya or Zendaya?
I think it's Zendaya.
I think it's Zendaya.
She's smoking hot. And her looks on carpets are, like, unparalleled.
Is she still with, do you know if she's still with, what's his name?
Charlemagne?
No, she's not with Tim. No, Chalamet's with Kylie Jenner.
Oh, that's who it was.
The other
one. Who was
one.
She with?
I don't know.
Spider-Man.
Who?
Tom Holland.
Yeah, that's it.
That one show that I started watching and never finished, that weird one. That weird one
Willy
where
Wonka?
He makes things up in his mind.
Oh.
He thinks things are happening.
What?
What the fuck? What movie think. Was that? Tom Holland. It was really, really good. And he goes to like a psych ward.
Hold on. Tom Holland. Colin.
Crowded room. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh. I need to finish it. So she looked smoking hot. The other thing that happened was Travis Kelce was back in Vegas celebrating the big win after he went to Australia to support his girlfriend, Taylor Swift.
Oh, he's still celebrating.
He's still celebrating, you guys. Winning the Super Bowl is a big effing deal. A BFD.
He'd be celebrating too. Mm-hmm.
Big effing deal.
BFD.
And the club, I think it was XS, played Love Story by Taylor.
Sure.
And he was popping bottles and singing at the top of his lungs. Now, to me, I just don't feel like Love Story would pop off drunk in a club. No. I've been drunk in a club before.
To Love Story?
Not to Love Story. Fuck no.
I mean, I can't get, like, I don't think like any Taylor Swift is like a club song.
Oh, I think that you could get down to like.
The only one I like is Cat Eyes.
I knew you were trouble when you walked in.
If that plays in the club, I'm walking out.
Blah, 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 blah. They could do remixes.
Well, I mean, you could do that too.
You could play the one with the remix where it's only her chorus and then it's Kendrick Lamar does the verses. You could play that in the club.
There, yeah.
But Love Story, she's like, baby, just say yes. Like, it's like not something. Like, if that came in and I was vibing in the club drunk, I don't care if Travis Kelce's, I don't care if Taylor Swift is there herself. I'd be like, it like, scratch the record. Huh?
Can we wrap this up?
Can we wrap this up? What the fuck are you talking about? So that happened. I have heard from multiple sources, allegedly. I don't want to be sued by Taylor Swift team.
No.
That this is all PR. It don't exist for real.
What?
Yep.
I don't believe it.
NFL needed more money, and this was all.
That's what I've seen.
It could have turned into maybe something, but I've heard allegedly that he's still out in these streets smashing. They know, yeah.
Maybe they have an open relationship.
Don't come for me, Swifties. I'm just reporting the news that I've heard, and I'm only reading the headlines.
We're about to get an album.
Do you think that there's a world in which they have a mutual understanding? They're both hot, so they're
have
like,
you
shut
up.
Think,
to Taylor Swift album?
Yeah, I don't think
no,
Taylor
there's
Swift
no mutual
is...
understanding. Yeah. You come correct, and you are romantic, and you love on me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could have been like something that was set up and then maybe turned into something real, but I have heard, allegedly...
Wow. I just feel like she's way more open now. I feel like she probably has threesomes sometimes. I feel like
I've heard she's a freak.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I have heard she's a freak.
I think she's a little more open now. I could see her having an open relationship with him and being like, you're hot, I'm hot, you do your thing, I'll do my thing while I'm out of the country.
The publicity's great.
Yeah.
That's true.
Good for them.
Did you guys see do you know who Cam Newton is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Cam Newton was recorded being jumped. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't condone violence.
I didn't see this video.
But my God, this was sexy.
Yeah,
I mean, you could hardly call it being jumped as he was throwing these people off of him.
Look
like
at
he's
how
the
hot
Hulk.
He is.
No,
he's smoking.
Just
he's
like
a freaking smoke show.
Yeah. The way he handles himself.
How many people were on
it? Was
like five, I think.
A ton of people.
And they did he get
And
him
they
off?
Just kept coming after him, and he was just flinging them off. It was almost like. You know when there's like an elephant or some... No, what are those movies where you see like the little hyenas?
And they're jump...
And they're jumping on them and they like are shaking them off. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Or have you seen a giraffe
like Avatar.
Plow through
Avatar.
A lion?
You know the big old... Yep. And those like little scary dog looking things are jumping on him and he's
and
shaking
them
off. That was Cam Newton. Flinging them off.
Did he get hurt?
He didn't look like he got hurt.
I didn't see the aftermath. All I saw was a video of him flinging them.
Wow.
He seemed to walk away just as tall and sexy as he
See,
was
now that's
before
so
he got jumped.
Jumped. You little bitch boys who jumped him. You little bitch boys.
I know. And you needed like 12 of you guys.
Ew.
Squares.
Losers.
Broad daylight at some like convention or
oh
something.
My God.
I know. There's tents.
There were tents.
Yeah.
It was like Cam was showing up for
like
an appearance.
Like a farmer's market.
Oh my God.
It's all very lame. So Sandoval did an interview, and it said that he said that Lala missed the mark, fashion-wise, at emo night.
Mm.
And number one compliment. The moment I hit the mark at emo night, someone call somebody because I'm unwell. Okay? I better never hit the mark at emo night.
Oh, no.
So not an insult. Huge compliment. Also, Sandoval can never talk to me or anybody else about missing a mark fashion-wise. Because I've talked about this before. I used to, like, walk into Bloomingdale's or fucking, like, Neiman's and Nordstrom. And I would look at things and be like, who the fuck would buy that? And then Sandoval would show up and I'd be like, oh, there we go.
Here's the guy.
And there he is, Herman Munster. You came down in your Herman Munster shoes. They're Louis Vuitton shoes. Well, even Louis Vuitton makes mistakes. So anyway, he goes on now that I... The point of this was he then says that I've missed the mark many times fashion-wise. But it's only the things that he gives are... What is it when you dress up? Like costumes. Costumes.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm like not good at costumes.
Themes.
Themes. A themed theme. Night. I always miss the mark, okay? And I will forever miss the mark because I am horrible at dressing up.
And I don't care. You
I
don't
have
care,
to
do
say
you?
You don't miss the mark because that cowgirl hat, you kind of started the cowboy hat craze with the sequin.
They love to steal from Lala, but it's fine.
And
it's fine.
And Sandoval missed the mark at the dinner on this past episode with his cowboy yeehaw paisley black and white shirt. I'm sorry.
I know. I thought,
he
what the hell
mark.
Was that?
That was a little too, or it was a little too on the mark, whatever it was, wasn't
a little
working.
Too themey. See, he's great yeehaw. At a theme. I'm horrible. So he goes on to say, there was a time I had this 70s roller skating party and Lala showed up in a boxer's robe, boxing shorts, and gloves. And so I'm like, I remember that 70s roller skating party because my dad had died that season. I roll next door to Sheena because she fucking remembers everything. Mm-hmm. I go, Sheena, that 70s roller skating party Sandoval had, what season was that? And she goes, that was season 7. I was like, I knew it. I am very much not in what he claims I was in. All right. But he's a liar.
Okay.
So we know that. Here I am, positive vibes, in a blue. This is the time that I... Does that, am
wait.
I, yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
Very cute. Very cute. Video.
I want you to send me this.
Smoking so we weed like a champion. This was the season of only smoking weed.
Oh, good for you.
And I have a dick sucker around my neck.
Oh, a dick like lollipop.
Like a lollipop thing.
Because dick sucker.
I was like, I remember this. I've never prouder. Shown up anywhere in a boxing robe. So here we go, guys. This is what he was talking about.
Can we share this?
Yes, we're going to share it because here's the thing. You can say whatever the fuck you want. You can say I missed the mark, but what you're not going to do is lie on me, fool. All right? Like, if you're going to come and say X, Y, and Z, like, your receipts need to match. All right? Yeah. Don't try to cook the books, bitch. Yeah. All right?
Preach.
Not with me.
Also, he has very selective memories, like I told you on the
selective. You mean he makes shit up?
Yes, yes. Like he remembers.
So we're gonna be kind of a selective memory,
or he seems to. I don't know him, but he seems to have.
People wanted me to call him out. Remember, you guys, I'm off social media, creating a beautiful environment for myself these past few months, and people were asking me. I guess he compared Sandoval to George Floyd and BLM and that whole thing and the O.J. Simpson trial. And I don't even know what to say about it because, number one, it's just so out of touch that anyone could ever think. Like,
so
we all remember that time. It was devastating to the point where, not the O.J. trial, I was a young child, but when George Floyd and his passing happened, like, we didn't even do the podcast. Like, we were in a time of, like, mourning and just, we really couldn't even wrap our heads around, like, what society had come to, right? Mm-hmm. Sandoval, we were podcasting our asses off. Let's talk about it!
Right!
Not the same, but it just goes to show how out of touch, and I he doesn't think before he speaks, and it's so out of touch with reality and what's in front of him that I don't even know what to say because this is just who he is. And if we keep him under a microscope, we're going to constantly find things that he says where it's like, wow. And I just have no desire. I had a beautiful season. It was a lot of ups and downs with my emotions. This season, I was all about myself and my own healing. It really, you guys will see, with him, and you may be turned off a bit during scenes just based off of how he's been acting recently, and it's just not adding up. But any conversations that I have, they're strictly for myself. It sounds corny when people say you forgive for yourself, not other people. For the first time, it rings incredibly true. Where I'm like, do not give yourself credit in this moment. This is for me to move on and live a really, really fantastic life. And what you go on to do is not going to affect me anymore.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I just addressed it.
Good.
Jessica.
Yeah.
You have notes?
Because Vanderpump.
Yeah. Let's just kick off. Let's do BH real quick.
Okay.
So if you guys watched the finale, tonight's the first part of the reunion. Kyle has this white party. Easton, I don't know if you know about it. It's literally been happening since season one of BH. This year, it was hosted at SoFi, and the budget was $400,000, which that is badass.
Is that through Bravo or through?
Bravo.
Mm-mm.
Kyle Richards.
No, Kyle Richards is funding this stuff.
I have to say, hosted at SoFi, I'm actually shocked it was not more. I know that sounds so out of touch, but I'm dead serious.
Can I tell you, I thought,
like, damn, they got a steal.
Yeah.
The same thing.
I'm shot $400,000. Maybe.
Do you think it was because you rarely see an event like that, like something so private hosted there, and they were like, we're brand new. Maybe you guys could come in, show it on BH. It's been a crazy season. Like, come in, have it here. We'll give you a huge discount because then other people can see that you can, like, we're not just here to have concerts and football games. You can literally rent this out for a small little party on the football field.
Yes, I totally.
For the low cost of $400,000.
Right. And that being said, SoFi, if you would like to allow us to have an event there, I'm sure we can figure something out.
Yeah, but not for $400,000.
$20 and we'll be there.
Yeah, right? We ball on a budget. I thought that was amazing. Kevin Lee is back at it. Mm-hmm. He's planning the party. If we remember Kevin Lee, he planned Pandora's wedding. He does all of LVP's events. He body shamed my friend Katie, season 6, I want to say, but he did apologize. And in that moment, Kyle also got a few jabs in to LVP. We won't say much about that, but it was just like, it was very interesting to see Kevin Lee show up working for Kyle, and I'll be very curious to see if he ever plans another event for Lisa Vanderpump.
Yes.
Yeah. Or maybe she got rid of him, and so he came on for Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's hard to say no to a budget of $400,000. That seems like something that you would want to take on.
Exactly. And there are a handful, I've heard, of these event planners who just are the ones that it's, like, not hard to find in L.A., but I've heard, like, you know, the classic, like, if you can lock in these one of the eight L.A. event planners, because Mindy Weiss is another.
Yes, obviously. Like, she does all Kardashians.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that when Mo's there, Kyle comes in, and did you notice that Mauricio says, hi, how are you? And she's like, good, how are you? I thought that was so, like, obviously we know they're having issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the only time I ask someone how they are, like, even Jessica, who I go, like, a weekend without seeing, I don't, when she arrives, say, hi, how are you?
It's so weird.
It's so, like, haven't seen you in a long time. How's it been?
I think that's it. How long do you think it had been between them seeing each other?
But every time I see you and Mom, I always say, how are you? How have you been? And I see you guys daily.
That's true. You get in my car and I go, how are you? How are you
every
feeling?
Every time I see you in the office, I walk in and I go, how are you? I could have seen you and then there.
That's
how
a great
you?
Point.
So maybe I'm just a dick and need to take
take
curiosity in other people.
It's weird in a husband and wife.
See, but for me, I don't say to Jessica, how are you? I say, like, how was your weekend?
Yes. For an ex, husband and wife who share kids, it is a little weird to be like, okay, how are you? See,
okay, I'm not that. Know. But yeah. I just say it to you guys, so maybe I'm just...
This is why we have the podcast, to start the conversation. Mm. I thought it was weird. Erica is the performer looking so freaking hot.
Oh, I know.
She's acting different.
She hits different. Mikey can't even do the prayer because he's so emotional. She's been off stage for 4 years dealing with just life that came in with the, you know, the side swipe. And can I tell you, this is like you go, bitch, right? She's like now performing. Granted, it's her friend, whatever, but she's at SoFi. Mm-hmm. She's clearly talented, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Not only does she come in looking like that, she performs It's Expensive to Be Me. Are you kidding me? And then the way that they shot her, I had chills all over my body.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And to see women who have been done so dirty by like these powerful men, and then they end up coming out on top and rising, and you see like, oh, the powerful one in this dynamic was always her.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I got to say, I've seen, as you can probably tell, clips of this episode, but not the full thing. But I did watch that, and I was like, that gave me goosebumps. I was like, this is good.
She's such a presence on stage,
I know.
Isn't she?
I know.
Kyle's a real one. Also, every time it panned to her, she was singing the lyrics.
Yeah, oh,
that's
how
a real
could
one
you
right
not?
There.
So supportive.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was truly blown away. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, I wonder if it was like this in person. Probably not. Everything's always better. Like even the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
It always looks cooler on TV because of like all the camera angles that you get to hit.
Spinning
and it, like,
around.
I disagree. I actually feel like I hear you and I for the Super Bowl, yes, but I feel like that was probably so great in person because everyone knew her and the energy.
Energy for sure.
The energy from her off stage on stage or however you'd say it off stage. You'd be feeding from it, I think.
I have to go to her show in Vegas.
Yeah.
When is it? Can I come?
Yeah, she has a residency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go.
You stand here, I'm so dead.
Over here.
So it was a very quick, like, I want to say episode when it came to all of the ladies. I don't think that Anna Marie is going to be back.
Mm. You don't?
I don't think so. I don't find her to be...
wildly interesting?
Just not housewife material.
Yeah.
I don't think.
You know, I liked her at first. I think we have it. I have me on here saying that, like, the first few. I'm like, oh, she's so down to earth and real.
I love her. I don't want a down to earth housewife.
Right. That's the thing that was like, then you I know? Was like, oh, maybe this is not.
We housewife. Have our down to earth housewife. Her name's Kyle Richards.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Went from the house, the Palm Springs house that she got from her mother, to just hundreds of millions of dollars. All right. That's what I'm trying to see.
That's true.
That's down to earth.
Yeah.
For me.
That's
down
to earth.
For me.
The end of it, I would say, was like truly devastating, Jess.
Yeah.
Did you watch it, Easton? I think you did.
Yeah. The family.
So it's like 1 month later, then a week later, and they call the family together. And I want to get a little bit cheesy. We'll wrap this up pretty quickly. I want to just think. Is it Umansky?
Mm-hmm.
Umansky / Richards. Because we have been watching this family for, I want to say, 13, 14 years? And that conversation where Farrah comes over to the house, it's been leaked that Kyle and Mauricio have indeed separated, and they sit in the family room, and they have a very difficult conversation, and Portia starts sobbing. I know what it's like to film a reality TV show. And it becomes very intense, right? So just as someone who's a fan of the show, a viewer, someone who's been in it, but also someone who I haven't been in a relationship for that long, I don't know what it's like to really have a solid foundation that you think is solid. And then there's only a crack in the house because this motherfucker decided to take a sledgehammer to it. Like literally, we were all good. And for them to allow cameras in for us to see, I just want to thank them because that I know that that's not easy. And it just goes to show that, like, we've seen what perfection looks like. We've seen now what cracks look like. And a family that goes from, you know, really being very, very strong to we don't really know what's next. But to see Kyle, who's been a fabulous wife, a fabulous mother. Then she comes into her own and you see her juggling all of it, like trying to do her own thing while also being a good wife and mom and being supportive. To then they cut to her in her interview and they say, what has happened where you don't know that you can come back from this? And she said, things have happened where the trust is broken and I don't think I can get over it. To see her, even after 27 years and 4 children later, say, no matter what, I'm still going to pick me. and I will not compromise my happiness to suit you. And I love this family, and I love this family enough to say, without my happiness, I am worthless to all of you. And I think that's very inspiring for, and this is, it goes back to when I say, I resent what Bethany Frankel says, because Bravo offers such a platform where there's many women who sit there and they're like, what the fuck is next for me? They're going to watch people like Kyle Richards and go, I'm going to be okay. I can choose my own happiness, and it's still going to benefit other people. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I thought it was beautiful. And that is such an important message. And the older I get, the more I feel that. Because when I was younger, it used to feel selfish, you know, in like early 20s, like, yeah, but I need to be happy. It's like, you know, so I was doing a lot of people pleasing. The older I get, the more I'm like, I am worthless if I'm not happy with myself, because I want to give you guys what you deserve. But if I'm not happy, you're not going to get that from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's important. I thought it was beautiful. Good for her.
Go into every single relationship. I love you, but I will always love me more.
Yeah.
I know it sounds very strange and foreign, but without having the utmost and highest level of self-love, you are worthless to the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, Miami was a little bit snoozy. In honor of the Miami finale, I wore my Michael Jordan.
It's so cool. Suit. It has matching sweatpants, you guys. You can't see them, but they're awesome.
And I have my Jordans on that you also can't see.
Can't mismatch.
I actually liked the little scene with Larsa and Marcus, him like making her feel, because, you know, I'm sure that was tough when Michael Jordan, your boyfriend's dead, is like, no, I don't approve of the relationship. You would, even though Larsa is, she's a tough bitch, right? Like, I know her. She does not fuck around. Mm-hmm. It still is like, ouch. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really feel that great. No. But Marcus swoops in.
Yeah, but he also laughs about it.
He laughs about it
when he was like, well, he said no. And like laughs. It's like, well, I mean, to me, that was weird.
Yes. But also, he's not trying to sugarcoat it. And he also says, I respect my dad's opinion, but really the most important one is my mom's. And my mom fucking loves her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, let's try to balance this out and make our girl feel good. He gives her a promise ring.
Did you see she took him out of all of her socials?
Yeah.
Well, I think they broke up actually, but they did spend Valentine's Day together.
I think they're working on it is what the paparazzi said.
Oh, because they're the insiders, insiders. Right. I don't know. They do know a lot of shit. It's wild. Yeah. There's always a leak.
There's always a leak
for a couple grand.
Michael Jordan, right? Are you the leak with Larsa?
MJ. Mm-hmm. MJ's hard up for cash. I loved when Marcus was like, yeah, my dad was in Paris and asked about it. I'm like, how bougie.
That is so bougie.
Very. My favorite part about the episode, I had three things. The best part, Frankie taking the Uber. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cute. Watching Gertie's relationship with Russell. I'm obsessed with them. I want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want that. Someone give that to me.
Yeah.
And also Gertie ringing the fuck out of the cancer-free bell. Mm-hmm. Cancer-free bell. Because after 127 days, and I don't know if that was of like her chemo and radiation or if that was in total, but after 127 days, she's cancer-free. So it was snoozy, but then at the very end when they said what everyone was up to, oh, and then we have Nicole who's expecting a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So sweet.
After, yeah, I was like, oh, this reunion or finale's really happy.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
You watch Vanderpump Rules.
You know it.
All right.
You know it. Did you?
Jump into it. Of course I did, but it's, you know, it's very different than last year talking about it.
Right.
So you guys, I told you, I'm going to let y'all run game on it.
Quick first note is, I don't know, I know we mentioned it on this podcast, but Bella, which you see in the first scene with Lala, has since passed.
Yeah. I told her in that scene, take a little nappy. And she listened. She's a napping.
She listened. She's a very good dog.
She's napping listened. For the long haul.
I saw her and I was like, oh. It was beautiful little
was
angel.
Was I aggressive with her when I look at
yeah,
it?
You
I'm
were
like,
shoving her
was
in the
I?
Plane. No, you were fine. She was
okay.
Great.
You were fine.
Every time, sometimes, even when I'm doing something with Ocean and someone records me, I'm like, I feel like I'm
aggressive. I do too, but then. Maybe we
but
are.
In the moment, I'm not. But, no. like, looking at it on video, I'm like, are we, like, jolty? I don't know.
Could have been a bit so softer.
No, it didn't seem that way. I'm going to say so the first scene I noted was Sandoval at the clothing store with Schwartz.
Okay.
And this annoyed me a little, right?
Right,
because he's
me.
Talking in the scene and he's going, you know, and he does this thing where he's like, since Rachel didn't, I thought she'd reach out to me on my birthday. I'm not going to quote it exactly, but since she didn't reach out to me on my birthday, I figured, you know, something was wrong. And I'm like, okay, can we go back to that time? Because if you guys remember, she's in a mental health facility and he's out performing, I believe it's around the same time, using this Scandoval situation on stage as like a funny bit and to get people to like, so he's doing I think a slightly the victim-y thing again where he's like, you know, she's just not speaking to me. Yeah, and in my opinion, for a good point. If you guys said I love you, I know this whole situation is fucked up, but let's just take him and Rachel. If you guys said I love you and you were in love and you couldn't stay away from each other, you are being a terrible partner in this scenario. She's at a mental health facility, your love, yet you're out doing all these things and on stage and acting kind of like an ass. And then you're like, well, she hasn't reached out to me. Yeah, no shit. Good for her, actually. Bravo.
I know. Isn't it interesting?
Yeah.
The two people who were involved in it, yeah. One takes a step of getting treatment,
yeah.
Right? And here Sandoval is upset that Sheena reached out to him when his friend died. But how dare you reach out to me when my friend died, when you've been doing all these podcasts? Well, why would she reach out to you when you've been, like, using this as a bit? You're so upset about all of us making money. It doesn't look like you were sitting there
right.
hard up for cash. Right. You were also using it as a bit.
Performing.
Right. You know?
He's selling so performances. Just,
and yeah. This rocked her fucking world.
Yes. And so a big part of me, I just said, like,
and here's,
good for her.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing. And people are like, you're going way easier on Sandoval than you did Rachel. And again, Rachel didn't give me the opportunity to be soft with her. Mm-hmm. She just, like, disappeared. Great, fine, whatever. But, like, women always take the brunt of this shit. Like, Sandoval, yes, he's been taking a beating, but nowhere near Raquel.
And even when they are
fuck yourself
labeled,
with
yes.
a cheese grater.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Me telling her she's a fucking dumbass. You're a whore. Like, it's intense for a chick.
Yeah. And even when the guys are labeled, like, cheaters or whatever, it's almost like
a bit of a,
they go, well, yeah, he's a cheater, but it's followed by, but he's a guy. You know, guys will be guys. Yeah.
She's a whore.
Yeah,
stay away from
her. She's disgusting. Women don't, you know, it's like the undertone of, like, well, women shouldn't act that way, but men, you know, they think with their penises. It's
like,
well,
then
we got
I think
two heads.
With my vagina, so.
Yeah, sorry.
Mm-hmm. That one doesn't have a head on it.
Has a clitoris, though. Mm. You can think with your clit.
Mini mind.
Mini mind. Okay, Easton. Well, I don't want to keep going to my points.
No, I was just
going
to say, like, even, like, Sandoval, when they were shopping, and they were talking about that, like, Sandoval even trying to, like, inch at, like, well, I think you need to, like, talk about this and, you know, mend relationships.
Schwartz, you mean?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, Schwartz to Sandoval.
Okay,
and
okay.
Sandoval is just sitting in the corner. He goes, I just want to have a good weekend. And it's like, well, you got to accept the fact before you can have a good weekend with people, my guy.
Right, like
and
playing with
is,
knives.
And it is to the point where I was thinking about it, and Schwartz almost needs to give Sandoval, like, an ultimatum. Like, you need to apologize. You need to take accountability. And if you don't, you're going to lose me.
Because
I feel like they are a good group of friends right there. And it's like, I feel like if he were to give them that ultimatum, because that's all I've said, and I can't beat a dead horse, accountability.
Yeah.
That's it. Even James said it. Once he can say that I did this and I fucked up, he'll listen to him.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's all he has to do. And I feel like Schwartz is the only one that maybe can give him that ultimatum.
I'm not envious of most of the people on my cast.
Mm-mm.
See, I never had a relationship with him.
With Sandoval? Sandoval?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So for me, it's like there's nothing to mend. It's like I can forgive you for my own sake, but like we weren't friends before this, so we don't need to be friends after. Whereas like, what do you do if you've been done dirty like this and he was your best friend? It's hard to find the gray with mm-hmm. someone who you've known for 15 years and who was like your brother.
And watched you date and get engaged to that woman.
Very weird.
Yeah, very okay. weird. Okay, do you guys want to talk?
Your face!
God. God about that. You don't want to hit you in the head? You're like, oh, I remember.
Yeah, what's next?
Okay, really quick, I just want to touch on the Brock and Sheena nanny situation because as a full-time nanny myself when I was back in Nashville, I saw this a lot and I understood Sheena's side, but I also felt for Brock. Here's what I saw. I would be a full-time nanny for a family. If I was ever out of town or whatever, they'd have an in-law come in or a mom come in to stay with the kids for the week or stay at the house. And a lot of times caused tension because it just, you can't treat your mother like you treat an employee. I was not treated bad. I was not mistreated. I was just an employee and that was my boss. So as the nanny, I was able to
more of a boundary.
More of a boundary with as the mom, it's like the mom can go, you know, the parent would say, well, do this with her. And the mom would go, no, I don't want to. I want to take her. It was just a weird.
Well, that's exactly what happens.
Okay.
With Brock, Sheena, and Erica.
Okay.
And by the way, if I had a man, it would be the same with my mother.
Right.
Because they think that they know the best thing for the baby because they've raised kids. And then you're sitting there going, well, I think I know what's best for the baby because I shoved her out of my vagina.
Right.
It's a strange dynamic. And I think there's a lot of tension between all three of them. And I've seen it because I'm around them a lot. And what's wild is all three of them make sense when you're an outsider looking in, mm-hmm. right? But like you said, it's hard to have that boundary when it's not an employee. It's like, okay, I'm going to disappear and I'd like there to be the same structure at my house as there is at your house. But I think Nana is what they call Erica.
Okay.
But Nana and Summer Moon have their own dynamic at that house. And the problem is with like me and my mom or Sheena and her mom is it's not like you get to see grandma and grandma can spoil and like shove chocolate down there because it's pretty much a daily thing.
Right.
And you don't get to have the same dynamic as like grandson or granddaughter and grandma.
Yes.
Because you're basically a third parent.
Exactly. And I understand also that's a luxury. A lot of families just have to have their parents do it. My parents did it. It's like, yeah, we're not going to pay a full-time nanny when they're young. They're 21-year-old parents. They're like, we can't afford a full-time nanny, so grandma's going to be watching you. That being said, if you can afford a full-time nanny, just seeing the different dynamics and like, you know, I forgot what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought.
If it's up to me, mm-hmm. money, no money, I would want somebody in my family to take care of my child for more than 24 to 48 hours.
For more? Not like, you wouldn't want?
No, I would. Like if I'm gone for 24 hours to 48 hours, I want somebody in my family to be watching over
for
my
trust
child.
Trust versus a stranger.
Yeah. If I'm going out to dinner, throw it to anyone right now.
Sheena's point. That was her point. She's like, why would she not be watched by family and a stranger would be staying? And that's a great point, too. My mom said that. She goes, when you have a baby, I'm living out there because why would you leave your baby with a nanny when you could leave it with me?
Yeah.
No, I know.
You don't want a stranger living in your house.
No, you don't. But not everyone is that lucky to have their mom
or
dad come in and help with the kids. Mm-hmm. Sheena and I have the luxury of having our moms help out. You also have to remember, Brock was born an athlete. Athletes have so much structure, mm-hmm. down to like the minutes that they nap for, right? So when you talk to Brock and he talks back about how he wants Summer Moon to be, it is like talking to someone who is raising a machine,
mm-hmm.
a fine-tuned machine.
Green light, red light.
Yeah. Green light means you can get out of your crib. Red means you stay in the room. By the way, love it. With
that's
all the shit
idea.
I've been dealing with.
And that's
with,
the thing. And that's
with
I
Ocean,
see.
I should have treated her like a fine-tuned machine. Right? Like they got it figured the fuck out. But I think it's taking the mindset of an athlete and then just having a parent who's like, I just want to raise a toddler and I just want to like survive it.
Yeah.
Very different.
Right. Well, just to wrap up the Brock and Sheena scene, I want to end on this note, is that I really, really like Brock and Sheena as a couple, and I think I can learn from them. Brock reminds me a lot of Kyle. They're very communicative. Sheena, they have a traditional masculine, feminine dynamic that I really look up to and enjoy for me personally. And I really like them as a couple. And even on the show and outside of the show, I just really respect them as a couple.
Well, in every conversation that they always have together, no matter how it's going, you can always tell that Brock has Sheena's best interest mm-hmm. in mind, which mm-hmm. is what I like.
Yeah.
So.
And really quick, can we touch on your freaking look?
What are you talking about?
Vanderpump, what's it called? Wolf?
Wolf. 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 Thank you.
Oh my God, so good.
Thank you.
So good.
I felt like
Did you swing?
Swing? No.
I was going to say.
Swing?
No, I was not. I wish I would have known, because I wouldn't have worn Valentino heels right. that are like to take a sledgehammer to tile. Also, it looked kind of scary.
Shrapnel hitting your eyes and
no,
stuff?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Honestly, even if I was in sweatpants, I think I would have declined.
I'd have done it.
Sheena really? Doing it. Did they show her? I can't remember.
Did they show her doing it?
I don't think they showed
Damn
her.
Damn it. What a disservice they just Why did to really? Everyone. Sheena did it in her fluffy, feathery top and her hot pants. Her hot shoe pants.
Did you see it?
I feel like I saw a clip, whether or not it was on socials or in a trailer teaser. I don't know.
By the way, the trailer teaser, they put in a bunch of stuff that's not even actually cut out in the season. But yes.
I feel like this week was teeing up for next week.
Next week, I lose my goddamn mind.
Okay, amazing. Very excited.
We were doing so well. And then all of the sudden, I just am put in front of Sandoval and he starts talking to me about some weird shit.
Yeah.
And I'm staring at him and then shit just gets real. Where I'm like, oh my God.
Hold on, I have a question.
Literally, I start pacing throughout the boat and I'm like, am I going mad? Have I gone fucking insane?
Does Sandoval say that he's been putting himself out there and not you specifically? Or was that just a cut?
No, that's me specifically.
Okay.
Easton, the day before the news broke that he was having an affair, he does an interview with Page Six saying that Lala is corny.
Corny?
He meant horny.
That is what he meant. And that is a fact.
She let us know in the hot tub in
that
Palm Springs.
That does track. That tracks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, in Palm Springs, I was like, let me tell you something, because my mom was like, do you remember what I told you the other day? And I was like, let me tell you something, Lisa. I'm focused on two things right now. Surviving a toddler.
Yeah.
And actively stopping myself from humping any man. Okay? That's where my mind is at.
Oh, no.
If I'm not surviving the toddler in that moment, I'm thinking about fucking. So I'm not listening to anything you're saying.
Good for you.
Just saying. And he says, he calls me corny and then also says, she's not real. She just needs to be real and share her life more. The universe fucking loves me. That comes out in the next day. Tom Sandoval is having an affair with Raquel Davis. I'm like, what have I done right? What have I done right in this lifetime to where I just get blessings on blessings on blessings?
Thanks, Dad.
That's called prayer. Have you heard that song by Mary Mary? Like, but what they don't know is when I go home and get behind closed doors, man, I hit the floor. Dun, 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 dun,
Never.
Dun. And she goes, it's the God in me. Who? It's the God in me.
Haven't heard it.
Who? Never in my life. I love it, though.
They play it on gospel channels.
Really?
And I occasionally participate in the gospel channel.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah, let's do ache and relief. Easton, pop us off.
My ache, I'm honestly not going to, I don't have one. I'm going to give, it's going to be a good week.
You're so positive.
There's no one said, so I'm excited. I feel good, a bit tired, but we'll get by it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, my relief of the week has honestly been, Miss Peaches and all
Miss
of that
Peaches!
Going on.
Dave Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy making, I have no idea what it is at this point, but I think it was like $200,000 and I do want to get it right.
It's in Atlanta, Georgia.
The Atlanta-based Lifeline Animal Project.
You know what? Shout out to him, because he has always been someone where people look at him and they're like, he's a misogynistic prick.
Yeah.
And that very well may be true.
Well,
but he adopted
dogs.
Miss Peaches. And she's got nipples for days.
I know, but they're going
and
away.
He
just like Birdie
loves
Burn.
Her. He loves Miss Peaches.
Miss Bernie Byrne had big old nipples like Miss
Peaches. He was talking about saving animals on this like Fox News channel, and they were like, President Biden had a dog who bit 25 times. And he was like, well, that says more about the owner. If your dog's bitten 25 times, it's not getting the love that it deserves.
Yeah, yes. That dog's not getting enough of love and attention.
And you know what?
I agree.
He said something that I stand firm with as well. There's no such thing as bad dogs, only bad owners.
Agreed.
I like that. I agree.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jessica?
My ache and relief is in one. So my relief is that I went to the jiu-jitsu qualifiers at 10th Planet headquarters. I didn't compete. I just went to watch. Are you kidding me?
We're going.
I thought you competed.
No, are you kidding
going
me?
You're to going. Oh, competition.
That's right. That's right.
That is going to be in May. Night? That's April or May. But so I went with my crew from 10th Planet Burbank, and it was so fun. I loved watching it. But the ache is that I had never been there before. So it's a gym, and I just kept using the men's restroom.
On purpose?
No, not on purpose, but I kept walking back, and
it's Los Angeles.
Right, but there was a clear, like, I just wasn't thinking. A lot was going on. There was a men's restroom, and right next to it was a women's restroom, and I kept going into the men's, and I saw a couple people, like I walk, because urinals were out in the open, so if I walk in, a man would be peeing, and I would see. I didn't see that.
You'd think you'd spot a urinal in front of you.
I saw a million urinals, and I just thought, oh, interesting that there are urinals in here.
You thought how progressive.
Yes.
You thought how progressive. That's amazing.
No, I literally just went pee three times, and then I finally walk out.
In the urinal?
No, not in the urinal.
I'm proud of you.
In the toilet. But I walk back, and I'm like, oh, urinals. And then I do that like three times, and finally the third time I walk out, and a girl comes up to me, and she goes, hi, this is the men's restroom. And
wow. She's lucky that you didn't identify it, because that could go real wrong.
Yeah.
I know. And I was like, I don't know if you know this is the men's restroom. And I was like,
okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And
all
I was
right.
like, oh, my God. I had no idea.
Know.
So that was fun. But
the amount of times that I've also done that, though, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
You know, whatever. It's 2024.
We're all equal.
We're all.
Use whatever restroom you want.
That's how I feel.
I wish a girl would walk in on me. Pee.
I'm just trying to relieve myself.
Yes.
Okay. That's it. Because I rock it until I literally can't, until my eyeballs are floating.
Not good for your bladder, law.
Oh, really?
Really?
I always thought it made it bigger.
No. Why do you want a big bladder?
So I can wait longer.
No.
So I can go round,
that's
round
bacteria.
Trip.
That's
no, you
bacteria
gotta get rid of
your,
that.
Yeah, that's how you can get like
out.
Bladder infections and things like that. You know, holding pee for too long. Mm-hmm. You don't want that.
Oh God, I need to do more research on the human body.
You're not.
All right, my age of the
week.
Fuck you, I'm the most. I come
do
from.
I get a rise.
No. I come from Kent Birmingham. Okay. Do you know what that name means?
Was he so hygienic?
Oh my God.
He was my father, I think, as well.
Let me tell you something. He'd come up to me and be like, so I noticed that the toothbrush that I laid out for you still had toothpaste on it. Did you not brush your teeth this morning? I go, I did brush my teeth this morning, Dad, but I'm 16 years old and use my own bathroom. I don't come into your bathroom to brush my teeth any longer and haven't for quite some time.
That's so cute.
He brushed my hair until I was about 15.
Watching. I haven't seen you use the Q-tips in a while. Do we need to talk about it? I'm like, I use my own bathroom, Dad. I use my own bathroom now.
That is so cute. I didn't know this about him. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Most. That's why, Eason, don't fuck with me, dude. All right, moving on.
It was a joke.
What's your ache and relief?
My ache of the week is, I don't like giving people like this any attention, but now I'm pissed off. All right? So there's this stupid bitch.
That's how you start off strong.
Her name's Jennifer O'Brien. Okay? And I'm outing her now because she's pissing me off. She is a writer for reality. What is this?
Know.
Reality.
Vauntees.
Reality. She's a writer for reality.
Okay.
Reality team. Okay. Now, the moment you see her face, you know she's fucking annoying, right? You see that face and you're like, oh, you're a miserable fuck. Yeah, I'm dragging this hoe. You want to fucking go toes, bitch? I ain't the one. Now, I'm fine with her making her little measly sum of money off of like an article about Lala's a bitch or Lala's a whore or Lala's whatever, right? Don't care. What I do care is when you start talking about sobriety. As if you know one fucking thing about it, all right? She goes on to write about, people on Reddit did not respond kindly to me saying in my interview, I don't recognize California Sober or Sober Curious, okay? And she talks about how it's not sitting right and people, I could be setting people back in wanting to make a change. Let me tell you something. If you're trying to make a change in your life by cutting out marijuana or drinking, or cutting out drinking but not marijuana, or whatever it may be, I'm not the person to look up to, okay? I do not recognize those things. I don't, because I've sat in rooms with people who have told the most horrific stories, okay, where the only way out of it is to never pick up a drink or a substance ever again.
Right.
This woman, this Jennifer O'Brien, shedding light on what people are saying on Reddit, okay, they've never gotten the phone calls that I've gotten where people are desperate. I'm going to start getting emotional. Desperate. They've tried to stop drinking. They only smoke weed. They only do mushrooms, okay? And they call me or text me saying, I met you however many years ago, or I met you last week, and I'm begging for someone to help me get sober, to live. For this woman to write anything beyond there is sobriety and there is not is so fucking reckless. And that is the only reason why I am outing this Jennifer O'Brien right now, because I could not believe it. How dare you sit in the rooms that I've sat in and then you can talk about it? Because I guarantee you, you're going to leave there and you're going to have the same opinions that I have. Those rooms are saving people's lives and those people are sober. No, I don't recognize anything. There's sober or there's not, period. And if you don't like what I'm saying, fucking kick rocks. Blow me, Jennifer O'Brien.
Is she sober? I do. Is she sober or no? She's just speaking on sobriety, not being sober.
Let me tell you something. If she were sober, she wouldn't have written this.
That's right.
Like, she's pissing me off with that shit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Shame.
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 Fuck you, Jennifer O'Brien.
I can't stand that hoe. My relief of the week is getting that off my chest. I've been sitting on it. Yeah. Was that Producer John brought me Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies. Most people bring me the Samoas. I'm fine with that because those are good. But people don't know that the Thin Mints are actually my most favorite, and they were my dad's favorite too. I also finished the book, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
How was that?
It was absolutely fantastic. I believe it's an older book, but I recommend you guys read it.
The mic hit.
Anyway, whoa, that just got real heated.
Real heated. That was... I can't wait. Thank you.
And if you have a problem, Jennifer O'Brien, you can send it to fucking Daryl, because as Dorinda says, eagles don't fly with pigeons, bitch.
Bitch.
Anyway, I hope you guys enjoy the podcast. I wonder if we'll get any sponsors on this podcast.
We'll lose them all.
No, I hope not. Anyway, I love you guys so much. Reminder that the video of this comes out Friday at 9 a.m. Bonus episodes air every Monday. That's the visual and audio wherever you get your podcast. And it's on YouTube. And happy hump day, everybody. Go out there and don't be good. Don't be good, Brooklyn. Be great. Jay-Z. All right, I love you guys. Bye.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.